This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gut. Collie and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots close the preseason in New York against the New York Football Giants.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Yes, indeed. Welcome into the Patriots pregame social. Flying solo for a little bit. Paul Perillo. We'll get it through. We'll get it done. And we're getting ready for preseason game number four. At the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, the Patriots and Jets will go at it in a couple of hours. Until then, Andy, Mark, and I will have you taken care of. We'll get everything you need to know about this game, and probably more importantly than that, everything you need to know about the upcoming season. Cuts are on the way. In about 48 hours, you'll know exactly who, at least for the short term, will be the 53 players that will open the season. And as always with Bill Belichick, that probably will be a fluid situation. But cuts will come forth on Saturday afternoon. But before then, we have what I think is maybe a little bit more of an interesting game four of the preseason tonight than is normally the case. Andy is taking care of his duties with the mothership at the Sports Hub. He'll be along shortly. And Mark also will be here shortly. He promised me this week that he would be much closer to game time for the opening of the show. So he's a little bit late, and I expect to have him along shortly. But until then, Kevin and I will get you through. We have, as always, a lot of ways to take part in our show here in the Patriots pregame social. We have the email, of course, and you guys are already letting the emails fly at webradio@patriots.com, which is great. Again, that's webradio@patriots.com. And also, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And make sure that you include all your tweets with us with the hashtag PPGS. And Andy will get to those when he gets here. And we want to know, obviously, we all, as always with the preseason games, we want to know what you're looking for tonight, who you have an eye on, who we have an eye on, and we want to see if we can match those up. Figure it out. Obviously, we're going to be mixing in, I would think, a good deal of Logan Mankins trade talk tonight. That came down very late in our PFW in Progress show on Tuesday. Logan Mankins sent to Tampa Bay in exchange for Tim Wright in a fourth-round draft pick next year, a move that was clearly designed to be a money move, but also brings a guy who I think might be an interesting piece, depending on how he can pan out here. And Tim Wright, he's a 6'4", 220-pound tight end, converted wide receiver. He's more of a slot receiver type. He's not much of a blocker, but is said to have decent athleticism in hands and caught 54 passes as an undrafted rookie last year with the Bucs. So I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight. I know it would be a little bit tough for a guy who just got here, probably has very limited, if any, knowledge of the playbook. So 48 hours, tough to get him out there, but something tells me that Bill Belichick will try to get a look at him tonight, get him acclimated to the system a little bit. And, of course, I think the main attraction tonight, goes without saying, will be Jimmy Garoppolo. He will start the game. Coach Belichick confirmed that this week and also said that he will be playing a good chunk, if not all, of the game. Some reports have indicated that he will play all of the game. So I wouldn't expect to see Ryan Mallett tonight unless we had an unfortunate injury. So I think this is an opportunity for Garoppolo to sort of cement what has been a very good preseason for him, the second-round pick out of Eastern Illinois. struggled a little bit during the practices, but once the game started, he's been pretty good, and he seems to be getting better and more comfortable by the day. His presence to me, I've talked about this almost every week, his presence in the locker room, in interviews, off the field, leadership is really impressive. I think he's a guy who certainly has the intangible qualities that you're looking for in a quarterback, and we'll find out probably in a while, not tonight, but in a while, if he has the physical qualities that it takes to succeed at the NFL level in terms of being a starting-level quarterback. But that's something I'm keeping my eye on tonight. He's going to get a chance, by the way. The Giants have been pretty bad in the preseason. This is one of those things. It's funny. You know, you talk about how meaningless preseason results can be. The Giants are 4-0 in the preseason, but they've played so badly, and especially offensively, that Tom Coughlin wants Eli Manning in the first stringers to get some work in tonight. So he has said they could play anywhere between 10, 15, up to 18 snaps. So I would think that the first series or two that Garoppolo plays might be against some starting level defense, which would be a really good test for him. He has not faced a high level of competition so far in his three preseason games. Got a little taste of NFL action, I would say, in week two against Philadelphia when he came in right after Brady. There were some backups in the game at the time, but not the third, fourth, fifth string type guys that won't be in the league that he faced in week one and then, mopping up in week three. So tonight, probably the best opportunity to see Garoppolo against the highest level of competition he's faced. And it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But interested to see what you guys are looking for tonight as well. I had already mentioned a couple of things. It's going to be interesting to see how the aftermath of the Mankin situation unfolds on the field. I'm not talking about anything off the field intangibly, but, you know, who's going to play tonight? I don't think we'll see any Nate Solder or Sebastian Vollmer at tackle, but that interior line is still, I think, up for grabs. Josh Klein, Jordan Devey, Marcus Cannon maybe even. I don't know if Cannon maybe afforded the veteran status of getting this one off. He might. But I don't know who factors into the situation to replace Mankins at left guard. Does Dan Conley move from the right side to the left side? Does he move from the right guard to center, where he's spent a lot of time this summer? Is Ryan Wendell safe now, or is he still fighting for a job? And perhaps Conley the center, Wendell goes. So a lot of different combinations are possible. I'll be interested to see what starts tonight. I don't expect to see the two starting tackles out there, but I do expect to see Klein, Devy, Braxton Cave, maybe even Brian Stork. We haven't seen him all preseason. Interesting to see, and we have an email right here from Cody wondering if we're going to see the Tasmanian Devlin out there tonight. And he also wonders if we're going to see Dobson starting to play. Do I think he'll be out there tonight? Interesting. James Devlin, to me, is on this team. I don't know if he'll play tonight or what his status is for tonight, but he's got a spot. Dobson, to me, interesting guy. I do expect to see a little bit of him tonight. Haven't seen him at all in the preseason, coming off the foot surgery, that stress fracture in the foot. He's been out a while. I think that's really going to put a big, big blow to his potential year two jump, but I would expect to see him out there tonight. If nothing else, just knock a little bit of rust off, see what he has in the tank here, get him started. I don't want him opening the regular season without any game reps under his belt. So that's also a good sign for Garoppolo. That's an NFL receiver that he gets to throw the ball to. So I would expect to see at least a little bit of Aaron Dobson tonight, to answer your question there. I'm going to stick with the emails here for a little bit, and we're going to go to, as Fred likes to say, Charlotta, because Fred likes it. Michelle likes it when Fred calls her Charlotta. I can't even begin to comprehend a Patriots team without Mankins, but that's for next week's PFW. Let's see Jimmy beat out Mallett so that we can ship him out of town, and let's see Wright with some catches in Tim's to go on a route for a TD. Call me crazy, but I have a Butler starting opposite Revis come week one. Have a great broadcast. I'll try my best to stay awake for the whole game. It's 1:30 a.m. there in Sweden. You know, a lot of stuff that Michelle gives us to weigh in on there. I do think there's a chance tonight that if Garoppolo plays exceptionally well, I think Ryan Mallett's roster spot could be in jeopardy. I don't think that's going to be the case. Not that I don't think Garoppolo is going to play well. I expect him to continue to play well. I think that the coaching staff wants to keep all three. I wouldn't. I have seen enough. We talked about this last week. I haven't seen enough from Garoppolo. I've seen enough from Mallett. I am not convinced that Mallett is any more well-equipped to step in and play than Garoppolo would be. And, I think you just have to take the lumps that come with a rookie quarterback if disaster strikes and something were to happen to Tom Brady. But I do think that there's a chance tonight if Garoppolo gets off to a good start against some frontline players and shows that he can play a little bit, I think that's that could be the end of the line for Ryan Mallett. I do think that's a possibility. One other thing that Michelle touched on, Malcolm Butler, I think, has a chance to be the starting cornerback on opening day. Andy sort of laughed at me last week when I brought this up. He continues to be out there opposite Darrell Revis with, you know, Kyle Arrington and Devin McCourty and other frontline players in that secondary. And I just don't know if you would continue to go along this path if you didn't really think that he was a viable option. Obviously, you do not have Browner for the first 4 weeks. You have Alphonso Dennard, Logan Ryan, Kyle Arrington, and Malcolm Butler. Those are your options. Do you want to use Ryan and Arrington strictly as slot guys / potential safeties? And that limits you to just Dennard and Butler? Outside, it looks to me, Butler has been more competitive outside than either Ryan or Arrington this summer. I would not be surprised, week one, to see Malcolm Butler on the outside along with Darrell Revis. And if that happens, by the way, Malcolm Butler, I hope your conditioning is in good shape because you are going to get the ball thrown your way an awful lot. They're obviously not going to test the other side all that often. They're going to want to see what the undrafted rookie out of West Alabama has. I don't think that that is a lock, but I do think that's a chance. And we'll see how Belichick goes about that too, because, I think there's a lot of different ways you can go. Let's see. We got another email coming in here. I'm going to read it from Al. Al from Italy. I love when Al from Italy calls because he's a big fan of me. Let's see.
Kind of surprised you don't have a press release in front of you. I thought you might have the old
Ted
Sarandis.
Ted Sarandis. Worthy, 26, second-round pick out of Michigan State. Tore his ACL in 2012.
Well, this is perfect time.
You understand the Ted Nation rule on cockamamie trades?
This is perfect time for you, Andy, because I'll throw the question at you. We talked about a couple of different things tonight that we're looking at and we're expecting. Me and the listeners. We think we think the show just stops because you're not here?
That's what Kevin said. Said it was droning on.
Well, of course it's all one guy. Of course it's droning on.
I'm just kidding.
But
I just feel bad for Paul because he's got a cold and he's trying to fight through it.
We talked about cornerback and how you scoffed at me. Last week when I suggested there's a chance that Butler starts opposite Revis. I think there's a chance. I think it's probably going to be Dennard, but I think there's a chance.
And I think there's a better chance the Patriots lose at Miami to open the season.
Okay, and now here's another starting question, and I'll give this one strictly to you. Who starts with next to McCourty? That's from Al in Italy. He wants more PFW guys than Mark, less EEI.
It's either I don't agree with that necessarily.
I do.
I am going to say Chung. It's Chung or Harmon to me. And I know we've seen a lot of all these other permutations and different things, but I'm still saying Chung or Harmon. In that game, let me think matchup-wise in that game.
Don't you hate that?
I am going to say Harmon starts. I'm just going to go back to where we started. Harmon. Put him out there. You're going to have to cover a little bit, obviously, in that game. You have a deep threat in Mike Wallace. You have Clay coming on in the middle of the field. I'm not sure you want Patrick. Although, I don't know when you're going to want Patrick Chung out there due to his coverage deficiencies.
Do you put any stock into the possibility
Vikings.
That it's Arrington?
Oh, the Vikings game. That's a Patrick Chung game.
That would be his last game, too.
Why?
He'll get hurt.
Run over by Adrian Peterson. But no, that's the game where you put Patrick Chung in there. Is that week two, Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay, so Harmon starts week one, Chung starts week two, and then we'll go game by game from there.
Let's see. Simon wants to know in the rainy UK if the Patriots would make a run at Alex Boone, who's obviously unsettled in San Francisco.
You know, it's interesting. I poo-pooed this in an Ask PFW a couple weeks ago because I said, they got enough money invested in the offensive line. Well, you just opened up a big contract slot, sort of, in the offensive line by trading Logan Mankins. You no longer have your $50 million guard.
So let's get the money back into guards?
No, but it's more plausible to me now than it was with Logan Mankins still on the books and on the roster. I think you just got out from under a big deal for a guard. Why do I want to go under another big deal for a guard who, and I'm not going to pretend, I don't know how good he is.
No, I don't either. I mean, I assume he's younger than Mankins, but
right.
I don't know how good
but
he is.
But is he really good?
But
is
I
he
would not be.
Good?
I would still poo-poo it because I think that they just worked hard to get rid of the money at that
right.
position, and I think that would be I think it would cost you that money to get Alex Boone.
And my assumption is the money on the offensive line is going to go to Nate Solder. He's going to slide into that expensive offensive lineman slot because he's already sort of there with his fifth-year option at $7.5 million. Now you do a long-term deal. Maybe you can bring that money down a little bit for Solder. You have young guys inside, theoretically. You know, let's say Klein is the guy that wins a starting job out there. You potentially could have Klein, Stork, and Jalapio as starters, say, next year at rookie contract, late-round money. So you've kind of moved your money outward. And then whatever happens with Cannon as he sort of evolves, because I believe this is the final year of his contract, right? Is this his fourth year?
Is it his fourth
so
year?
I think it's the final year of his contract.
I think you're right.
But I think Solder is going to become your high-paid offensive lineman, and you're trying to bank on these young draft picks to fill in the middle and figure things out there. Conley comes off the books. Wendell probably comes off the books either this year or next year. So I think they're going a little cheaper on the inside, much as I think they should, and, you know, pay a tackle. If you think Solder's great, which apparently they do, they like Solder apparently a lot, pay him. He's your tackle. He's your marquee
guy. They're
already
paying Vollmer.
Okay, right. You get a couple more years out of Vollmer, and that's a little more traditionally how the allotment of money goes on the offensive line, although Andy Gresh doesn't like it.
Web radio at Patriots.com.
Because I basically said they've been cleaning up what I didn't really agree with in the first place with like $100 million dedicated to a nose tackle and a guard.
Run-oriented players.
And he, then how come the Pittsburgh Steelers had this guy and that guy? And how come,
when was the last time the Pittsburgh Steelers were relevant?
I don't know. And he said, these championship teams. And I was like, who's winning championships?
When was the last time they had a championship team?
He said, you know, the Patriots. And I'm like, they haven't won a championship since they handed out those $100 million in contracts.
Exactly.
I said.
And they haven't had a championship caliber team since then.
And my argument was, I'm not saying I don't want good players at guard and nose tackle, but what is the fall off to the next Dante Scarnecchia creation? And with that $50 million, had I signed a pass rusher, a cover corner, another receiver, a playmaker, could I have won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady in the last 3 or 4 years when this team ran out of playmakers in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Webradio@patriots.com is your email address. They're coming in fast and furious. Ace Ticket Hotline is also hopping at 508-298-0398. I just want to address something real quick. Marco.
Polo.
He says that normally he would agree with me about Butler, but after watching Tommy Kelly and Logan Mankins to take all the reps with the ones, now he doesn't know what to think. I just want to state, I don't think that Butler is going to start. I just give him an opportunity. I give him a chance to say, now, if you had asked me 3 weeks ago, despite all the reps that he was getting with the ones, I would have said, yeah, well, you know, there's different things going on. Dennard hasn't been out there. They know that Browner isn't going to be available for the first 4 weeks. They're seeing what they have. But I think it's gone on long enough now that they kind of like this kid, and they're, I think, intrigued to say what he can do, to see what he can do. So I'm not saying he's going to start. I'm not saying that at all, but I do think there's a possibility. Let's hit the Ace Ticket Hotline, shall we, Andy?
Real quick, I'm going to be forwarding these out. Logan Mankins is talking as we speak, making his debut in Tampa. Mike Reese is doing a good job putting some of the quotes out. I'm going to forward those on Twitter with the hashtag PPGS if people want to get involved with that. So far, I don't see anything inflammatory. He was surprised. It's a business. You don't expect it to happen, but it happens, blah, 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 kind of stuff.
All right, let's get to Dan in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. It's good to hear you on the pre- and post-game show. More Paul than Andy, that's always a good thing.
I agree.
You want to be our agent?
How's the pay?
Not very good.
I give you 3% of any work that you get us.
I just wanted to... questions that are going to and are going to follow up on some of the stuff that Paul said to start the show off. But first off, I just wanted to follow on from Andrew's fine work last week and defend the PFW Elite. I know you guys probably don't want to hear it, but I just want to reassure you that you know, there's 600 members there, and with that many people, we don't all have the same opinions. We don't all think that Ridley never fumbles. And certainly we don't hate the two of you or Mark. The only guy we really hate is Eric, and that's for two reasons. The group actually began with guys Eric blocked on Twitter. And second, the other reason is, as we all know, Eric is a monstrous douche. Did you see the latest thing where he tried to get Chester to raise 5 G's for his charity just so Eric would ship in a measly $10?
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like a challenge.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And his charity too, Nutmeg Animals. It sounds like, you know, they sell porcelain menageries for the odd gentleman in your life. But he goes to church, but I think the only reason he goes there is so he can feel bigger than Jesus. I mean, if you wanted to pick up a virgin, you should head to Radio Shack.
Oh, jeez.
That's a good call right here. Good, solid call.
This is just unbelievable.
What do you got for tonight? You know, now that we got the Eric bashing out of the way, and I fully support that, what do you got for tonight? What are you looking for?
Yeah, as Paul said, it would be good to see how the O-line's going to settle out now that Logan is working on his tan down in Tampa Bay. But the other two positions I'm really looking at are running backs. So that's going to sort out between White and Finch and Gray. And the other position I'm also looking at is the last couple of linebacker positions. Chris White, Steve Bohanas. Andy, on one of his earlier roster projections, actually had Steven Bohanas missing out. But obviously that changed when James Anderson was cut.
Yes.
So I like what Bohanas brings. I like that attitude. You know, we need as many guys to sort of bring that hammer particularly across the middle as we can. But I know he had his issues in some of the earlier games, taking bad angles and so forth. So just with particular reference to Bohanas, do you think some of those errors that he made, some of those bad angles, some of those bad tackles can be coached out of him? And my other question for tonight is there any risk starting Jimmy G? I mean, you know, if he plays a bad game, can it severely dent his confidence? I mean, all the reports have been about, his poise. I mean, the poise was used so often you thought he had an endorsement from the senior undergarment company. But
you're really bringing the stand-up routine tonight, Dan.
I like it.
I like it. No, I don't. To answer that part of the question, I don't think that Garoppolo is one of those guys that would get his confidence damaged. I think he's a supremely confident kid. And I think it's preseason. I think he knows it. I think he's working on developing his game. And if things don't go quite as well, I don't think that will really shake him. Do you feel like that's an issue?
No, I don't. But you never know when it is. I mean, confidence being shaken is one of those things that often comes afterwards. Kind of Fred Kirsch will analyze it later.
But you got to play. If you're worried about destroying a guy's confidence in the fourth preseason game,
then he's never going to play for you.
Right.
And I don't have any fear of Garoppolo's confidence. He seems supremely confident. On your other thing, the linebacker thing, I do think that's an interesting position to watch. And Paul and I were actually talking about this upstairs. I think Fleming is sort of now a lock, and he has been more of an outside linebacker. In that young group, and I know he's a little older because of the injuries, but then inside, you get rid of Anderson. Are you keeping Bohanas? You know, James Morris is a guy that suddenly Matt Chatham and those people are all in love with and think he's a comer. I haven't seen a ton from him that I love, but one of those guys probably has to make it because Chris White doesn't play defense.
Well,
and we saw why.
Does Chris White make it as a special teams linebacker, and does that take a spot from one of those guys? In other words, Maybe. Is there one or two spots left, or is there really one spot left and sort of it's all up for grabs? I was sort of thinking six was the number, counting special team guys like Chris White. Now, I don't know if they think Bohanas is a big part of special teams because he was on the roster all year last year and was inactive most games. I think he only played twice. So I'm not sure that they look at him as a special teams option.
Right.
So that's an interesting
part. But you don't know how they look at...
They might think he's improved.
No, but also you're comparing him to, I don't even know, James Devlin, to Brandon Bolden, to Darius Fleming, to
that's
grouping.
The tricky part. It's
almost like stacking your roster horizontally as well as vertically in terms of special teams.
Exactly, and it's also, it can be dangerous when you're trying to compare players. I think the tendency is to say, okay, well, is it Bohanas or is it James Morris? Or is it, Fleming with a guy like James Anderson? And really, in reality, it's probably Bohanas or Brandon Bolden.
Right.
Like you just said.
Or even LaFell.
Or Josh Boyce. Can he do anything
LaFell
on special teams?
A big guy. I mean, he could be a tight end.
And Bill talked about him having ability on special teams. I don't know if
he could have
caught
a big
that.
role. Remember he said he'll have a role and he could have a big role or something. Yeah, I did catch that. So that is the danger there of we're sort of looking at Bo Harness, James Morris, Darius Fleming, and Bill saying, well, it's really, you know, Bo Harness versus Bolden, and that's not as easy for us to sort of surmise from the outside.
Right.
Let's, for example, I think Bolden's going to get cut. I don't like Bolden. I've never seen the need for Bolden.
I think Bolden's in a lot of trouble myself. Thanks, Dan, for the call. We're going to stick with the Ace Ticket Hotline and head out to Oregon for Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, big man?
Hey, I haven't talked to you guys since I saw you the Ice Bucket ALS Challenge video. I understand you guys both did it, but, man, if Eric couldn't become public enemy number one after this effort, I don't know.
Well, Chester, he's sort of against that, you know, ALS. Oh, he's sort of against it. He doesn't believe in it.
It's an uproar. But, you know, I figured it all out. You know, the guy doesn't want to do it because he doesn't, you know, it's not because he doesn't want to get wet. It's not because he doesn't want to donate $10. It's because he's a gremlin. He pours water on him. He's going to shrivel up into smoke, you know. Make sure he doesn't stay up after midnight. But anyway, you know, a couple thoughts on the game today. I'm looking at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You know, to me as a fan, right now I need to feel good that there's some viable depth on both sides of the ball. So, you know, I'm looking for guys that are going to fight and try to prove themselves to win themselves a role tonight. I don't care if it's a win, it's a loss. I care if we roll over, and I'm going to be highly concerned with that. I want to see, you know, just a nice competitive football game tonight. And, you know, this is clap or get off the time pot, the pot time for Brandon Browner. I need to see something from him, too. Otherwise, I think there's going to be a slippery slope there as well. That's it. Missed you guys earlier. You guys have a good one. Over and out.
Thanks, Chester. Andy, some of the other things that we brought up before you joined us, and what was the just curious? What was your big topic? They usually come up with something that you're not really looking for when you do
we
the
talked
big
a little
stuff.
Jimmy G mallet discussion, reading into that blah 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 stuff. We've been over a million times. We talked a little bit about the offensive line, and you know, Gresh was kind of wondering, you know, who's going to play tonight, who's going to be, and I said, well, it's not even so much who plays necessarily as much as I said, he brought up Devian Klein. I said, well, if Klein is inactive and he's with the group of kind of starters, that's a good sign for him.
Yeah.
If he's playing and Devy's playing, that might be a bad sign that they're still sort of
hashing
that out.
I'm expecting to see Klein and Devy play.
See, I'm thinking Klein might be inactive.
He could be.
I think he could have ascended to a little bit of a higher
role. If you had to guess right now, who would be the starting left guard opening day?
Klein.
Really?
Yes.
See, I think Cannon.
I think Cannon's going to be the starting right guard.
So you think Wendell is gone?
No,
you
think I think Conley's Wendell's the backup center.
Wow, that's a lot of money for a backup.
That's a lot of money to just piss away. Why'd you sign him in the spring?
But if he's not good enough to play for you, then...
Well, he's good enough. He'll be my fourth interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Got to have a backup center. Somehow, some way, you got to have a backup center.
Yeah, well, do you have to give him like a... whatever million-dollar signing bonus?
$850,000.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I didn't pay him. I didn't make the decision come spring. I wouldn't have re-signed him.
All right, we're coming up on a break here, but before we do,
are we coming up on a host at any time?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you guaranteed me he was going to be here on time.
He guaranteed it. Nick Babylove, what's going on? We love the song. Love the song.
Well, look, that's only a demo. I just finished recording today with a female, so I'm going to try to get it ready before the 7th.
Nice.
But putting that aside, and by the way, shout out to Kevin. Is it Collins?
Yes.
Kevin Collins, yes. Really, he's well. The one that put it all together. Love that, Paul and Andy.
Pretty famous female singer doing it, so you're going to be very surprised. It really is for a female.
Nice.
But look, I think I tried, Paul. I love an Andy when you're on, and, you know, the sports channel. I lost my train of thought now because I'm so upset about the Logan Mankins thing, but I've now called every other show because I'm loyal to the sports hub and I'm loyal to you, not for a reason because I know the business. So, for some reason I didn't get through all week to Felgren Naz, but I just want to say, hear me, and I want to speak sincerely. I'm very blessed that I know a lot of players. I talk to the Dolphin players. I'm down with everybody at the UM, especially in those Vince. And I want to tell you from my heart, and I know you guys know the Patriots better than anybody. Am I right?
Well, we try. Yeah. We try.
You all now know better than any of the other writers or whatever.
Yep.
So So, and I'm speaking the truth here from an old school guy. So here's where I'm at. Logan plays injured all the time. He played on an ACL.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm wrong.
Nick, you're breaking up. I think you might be in a bad cell.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit. Quickly, we're up against a break.
Okay, the bottom line is obviously Logan Mankins is a Hall of Famer, and I hope you can elaborate. I think the Patriots regret the trade. I don't know. Thanks again. Great show.
All right. Thanks for all the support, Nick. Appreciate it. We're going to get to some more Logan Mankins talk. I didn't really want to get too much into it by myself, Andy. I figured when you and Mark were here, we could talk about that a little more. We have the calls are stacking up. Mike, Melvin, Eldridge are here. Plenty of emails. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Mankins talk. Hopefully we'll get our host back after our first break. But you're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a question for the boys? Call them on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Hey, the host is here. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm Mark Bertrand, alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart.
How was the traffic, Mark?
It's going to make me angry if I have to talk about it again, Paul.
Oh, what an idiot. Tried to go through the Blue Hills on a Thursday.
It wasn't good. Wait a minute. On a Friday, it was awesome last week. It flew right through there.
Well, but as a local, Thursdays are a bad day.
Using logic. Yesterday, Friday it was good, so it would probably be okay on a Thursday.
I left yesterday at 5. Yeah. I left the station, and I got to Comcast before 6. So that's a comparable ride to go. I went the Pike to 128, and I went up to Burlington.
That is not a comparable ride.
It is a comparable
ride. No, I've done that
ride. All right. Well,
I've done that ride at that hour. It's not bad.
We can discuss this later. Most of our global listeners don't give a rat's ass about the traffic in greater 128 area.
I'll tell you, no one is happier than I for the preseason to come to a close tonight because it's the end of this.
I know.
Showing up late.
Don't we have a Thursday night game?
That's okay. That, for regular season games, that will not be an issue.
Okay, good.
That has never been an issue in the regular season.
Also starts later. So what are you looking for tonight?
I'm looking for Jimmy Garoppolo to see what he does in a full game situation. I don't care what the competition is. I know that he's going to see some actual ones when he goes out there. Just the fact that he's going to play a whole game, start to finish. Not a quarter, two quarters, no. Full game. Go out there and show us what you got.
Think he'll improve upon his 129.8 passer rating, or is that baby going to come down a little bit? Has not thrown a pick or been sacked yet.
I think that probably comes to an end.
I would agree.
Yeah, he will be either sacked or picked at some point in the game tonight.
I'm intrigued to see what he does, like you, over a full game, and just sort of, it's his show. You know, it's the Jimmy show. And we've talked about it. Paul and I think, did some hits on it. In week 2 on the preseason television broadcast, he brings an energy. He brings a little something-something to him. And for him to be able to bring that for 4 quarters, theoretically, will be interesting to watch.
60 minutes. Do it for the entire game. That's what I want to see. Also, Aaron Dobson making his return.
Another one that I brought up. And I think that's big because...
Year 2 jump. That usually takes off in the fourth.
Yeah, I
don't think he's going to have a jump anytime soon.
I didn't want him to have to go into the regular season without having any action at all. And I think it's at least an opportunity for him to get a chance to get out there, at least knock off some rust. Now, I agree with you guys in terms of the huge year 2 jump. That was dealt a big blow because he missed the entire offseason. But at least he gets an opportunity to get out there, and we see where he is right now tonight.
So that's what I'm looking for. Those are a couple of things. Those are a couple of the big things that I think everyone's looking for. Also, curious to see what the combinations look like on the offensive line tonight. I mean, that's something we've watched all preseason, and now we're going to be watching it. Now, I don't know how many what will actually translate from this game into the regular season, but I'm curious who they start working in at left guard during this game tonight. I want to see that. I think that's a standout thing, too.
I'm glad I hit on all the pertinent topics.
Sure, you did. You guys don't need me. Let me ask you this.
Because I asked Andy, Mark, who do you think will be the guy? Do you think there's a chance tonight that a guy like Josh Klein, Jordan Devey, are they out there tonight? Does a guy like Klein get the sort of, quasi-veteran treatment or established player treatment?
Was he in that massive group that Giardi had?
I don't recall.
Well, let's go to the videotape.
Cannon was in that massive group.
Cannon, Wendell, Conley, Solder. Those are the offensive linemen that were in that large group of early warm-up guys with the strength.
If you had to ask me who it's going to come down to at the position, it's either Klein or Cannon.
That's how I feel.
For what?
That's how you feel. That's yeah. For Andy, who's going to take
Andy
over
thinks Klein. Andy thinks it'll be Klein. I think it'll be Cannon.
Well, I
but
think
I think
both
those
starting.
Are the two guys.
I have both them starting.
Where do you have
I
them
have,
starting?
Well, assumingly,
so you have you
left
have,
guard Klein, right guard okay. Cannon, and Conley at center.
Okay.
That's my offensive line. I think that's your best five. I think that's how you put your most skilled five offensive linemen on the football field.
I could go with that. I could get on board with that.
See, I think a lot of people have put Klein there because he's the guy who played left guard last year, and then they moved Mankins mm-hmm. out to tackle. But the problem with that was that Cannon had to play right tackle at that game because Vollmer right. was hurt.
Although it seems like you'd be paying a lot of money for a backup in Ryan Wendell.
Well, that's my point.
You already paid the money. You gave him a signing bonus. I can't. You know, I but that was a bad idea.
You could, but now, this brings us
I'm not
full circle.
Pay him. I'm not going to play him just because I paid him.
No.
And I'm not going to cut him just because I paid him. I'm going with who are
so
my best
think,
five.
You think Josh Klein is definitively better than Ryan Wendell? I'm not saying that you're wrong.
To me, Josh Klein is Jimmy Garoppolo, and Ryan Wendell is Ryan Mallett. I've seen what Ryan Wendell is. He's plateaued. I know what he is. I'm not sure I love what he is, and I might like what I see. With Klein.
I hear you. I'm not willing to say that about Klein because I just don't know, and I just haven't seen it.
So you'd have Conley starting at right guard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Wendell at center.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't love that.
With Cannon at left guard, because I think it doesn't matter. If you want to put Conley at left guard, well, I think Cannon's a little bit stouter. That's why I would put him at left guard and keep Conley at right guard, but... Yeah, I'm not convinced that Klein is better than Wendell.
Okay, that's what you would do, but do you think that they will put either Connolly or Wendell on the bench?
Oh, yes. I think one of them is on the bench. I don't think they're cutting either of them, actually.
No, I'm not saying cut. I'm just saying that in terms of who's going to start every week, one of those guys
Well,
is
I
got to
tell you, if they've decided that Wendell is not a starting caliber player, I have no problems if they want to let him go.
Yeah, I don't
and
either.
You'll keep Stork as your backup center?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that those guys can serve as a backup center.
Who?
One of those backups. I don't know which one. I mean, Stork would be the one. I mean, he looks like he's going to play tonight. Beat
just
a lot
drafted
of
the guy.
I don't know if you knew that, but a lot of guys are tweeting
playing.
About that.
Yeah,
he was taking snaps with Garoppolo earlier before the equipment was on. So it looks like he's going to get a chance to play tonight. Now, Andy and I sort of have a little kind of sarcastic, but not so sarcastic thought that he plays tonight and winds up on IR. You know, but
it happens.
I mean, these things happen.
Guys get hurt.
Think
injuries happen.
Hey, thank Jeff Demps. Same stadium 2 years ago tonight.
So
right,
okay. So you think he's going to end up on IR?
Well, could. Like I said, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Right.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear you. But what if Stork plays well tonight? Doesn't he then prove that you can move on from Wendell?
No, doesn't prove it.
Why not? I mean, no, it doesn't
Paul,
prove it.
Where will the nose tackle he's blocking be next week?
Sonny's car wash.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, exactly, but in terms of...
And he might not be anywhere near ready to play a regular season game.
I'm talking about...
He was not very good in the spring, and he's missed the entire summer. So I'm just going to put him in front of the franchise in week one after somebody goes down to an injury and say, well, Tom, good luck. You know those QB sneaks that you're always so good at? You might need to get a little better.
But I'll give you this. Is Braxton Cave a guy...
I don't know.
That could be the backup center.
That I would feel more comfortable with just because
he's been here for a whole year.
And the familiarity and all that. I don't know if he's talented.
Yeah, here's my point. I'm not getting overly consumed with
who the backup
center is.
He'll never forget his name, though. Says it right on his arm.
But I'm not overly concerned with who it is.
He has it Cave on his arm.
Full name? Oh, his last
Cave.
He definitely has Cave on his arm.
Okay, that's different.
No, it's stupid.
I am not overly concerned with who it is.
I never understood why people put their name on their body.
You're such a dick, Andy.
Whoa. I'm not sure we can say that word.
No, we don't.
I just did.
We don't talk like that. Listen.
Yeah, this isn't the hub.
Yeah,
you can't have a potty mouth.
Yeah.
But we're on the internet.
Okay?
There is no governing body.
I made a K. But wait a minute. I don't really care who the backup center is, but I kind of do care about how much money he makes. And if we can't.
Why?
Because if we can't pay Logan Mankins to start, then I don't want to pay Ryan Wendell to back up.
That's how I feel. Like, what's happening here?
So where is all this money going that we have to keep saving?
That's my point.
I don't get your point.
I don't think they needed the money. I didn't necessarily. I mean, the trade for Mankins was money related. So now we're just.
But one guy's
we can pay a guy more money
and one's
to back up.
$850,000. That's a little difference.
That's not all he's making.
No,
if he
I
makes
know.
The team, that's all it's costing you. If he gets
right.
cut,
he's making
there's
like
a big
million
difference.
Five.
Yeah, and I don't want a backup making that.
All right, so a lot of offensive line
stuff. What are we doing with
stuff.
All this money we save?
A lot of offensive line stuff
going
on.
That's a question for the whole offseason of shows that we'll be doing on PFW in progress.
You've got a lot.
Because my guess is nothing.
You've got a lot of time to talk about the money being saved. You really do. You don't have to do it right now. It's not going. That savings is not going anywhere.
But none of the money issues on the offensive line are enough for me to make a decision. So therefore, I would just go with my best nine guys or whatever the number is they're going to go with. And I think Ryan Wendell is in that group. He's started 16 games the last couple of years here. I would keep him. I wouldn't cut
I would
him
too.
For any reason.
He'd be my starting center.
Yeah, I don't think he's that good.
All right, let's go back to the phones and get some of these calls. You've been waiting patiently. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Do want to remind you about Dunkin' Donuts' new French vanilla and hazelnut swirls. Enjoy your favorite Dunkin' iced coffees and lattes with a sweeter, creamier flavor swirl. Mm. Try a French vanilla or hazelnut swirl in any Dunkin' coffee or latte today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Let's go to Mike. He's in Revere, and he's up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Well.
Hey, so I had a question about the Logan Mankins-Tim Wright trade. I know you guys probably been asked to death about this, but I haven't been able to follow this year as much as I have in the past. And I was wondering if this trade came out of necessity based off the fact that, I mean, over the first couple of preseason games, we have tried the split-back set, the two-back set, and is it because we're not satisfied with what we're getting out of our running backs in the passing game? Because I know Vereen is solid. But do you think we're trying to, instead of do that, we're just going to go with a two tight end set more often? Or do you think Tim Wright is strictly a backup to Gronkowski? That's the first part of my question.
I actually don't think Wright is a backup to Gronkowski. I don't think he is anything like Gronkowski in terms of the role he can fulfill as an inline tight end, a blocker, any of that. I think he's the pure move tight end, the split guy. So I think if he plays, it's going to be as a complement to the rest of the offense and not as a fill-in for Gronkowski.
I agree.
But, I mean, he's filling a void that that didn't exist, that there was no one here.
Right. He potentially adds another possible solution.
Right. You can go two tight ends. You could not go two tight ends previously. You didn't have a second tight end or a move guy like him to put out there. I don't know whether that means they are not happy with the split backs and the idea that the backs can be a bigger factor in the passing game. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I don't read that into it. I think they added a piece that they flat out just didn't have.
Yeah, and I like the split back stuff. We talked a lot about that last week, and it was very successful in the game. We talked a lot about it in the postgame.
In a stupid way, this may have as much to do with Justin Jones as anybody. Maybe they thought Justin Jones was going to be just like this guy, be an undrafted rookie who could come in and be an athlete and catch, and then they realized he wasn't, and they said, well, maybe if we want to have that role, we're going to have to go find somebody. But I don't think that this was we have to get Tim Wright, so wow. We're going to have to give him Logan Mankins then. I don't really think that's how this played out. I really don't.
No, because if they wanted Tim Wright, they could have acquired him for less than Logan Mankins.
Yes, and I think they wanted to get something for Logan Mankins.
Now, Wright,
they wanted to trade Logan Mankins. They wanted to remove
that
from the
roster. Yeah, that's why I say it was a money deal. They wanted to get that off the roster.
And he said that. I mean, his comments, Logan Mankins said, you know, we had talked, we couldn't reach an agreement, blah, blah, blah.
Wright was on the field warming up a short time ago. Are we going to see him in this game tonight? What do you think?
I would think so, at least in some limited role. I don't know if that's the red zone. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine he had. What was that?
That was the sound of my bottle of soda opening. Hear that?
I can't imagine he's going to have a massive role because I can't imagine he knows, you know, a massive amount of the offense. But
it's just a good thing Brady's not quarterbacking because, you know, what would happen? My God, if he... You know,
he would not be open to that.
Imagine if he turned the wrong way, you know, despite the fact that he's been on the team for, you know, 30 hours.
Day and a half. Let's go.
Paul hate Brady?
Yeah, no,
Andy doesn't hate Brady.
Andy's right.
He's just being critical about a topic that deserves criticism. That's what that is.
And I also agree with Andy.
That's cute how you little Felger wannabes stick together.
I think Wright.
Is this guy for real?
Just haven't you learned? You just keep going. Just put your head down and plow through.
Unbelievable.
Just plow through. You'll make it. You'll make it. You'll get to where you need to be.
Eldridge.
Every once in a while, he gets me back in the corner, and I just start wailing away mindlessly. But that's a rarity. That's a rarity. I usually can just plow through. And I happen to agree with him on Wright. I think that we will see him tonight. I think it makes no sense to sit there and say, well, he's only been here for a day and a half. But you need to get him out there. You need to see what he can do.
physically.
Right.
We'll worry about mentally later.
It might be six plays. Yeah, we might have six options.
But you could tell him, let's go out there and you know, try, you know, let me see you block. Let me see you block on this guy. You know, the reputation is that he's not a blocker. He's not an inline blocker. Talk to Booger McFarland, Andy. Told me that he
Truck is better than mine.
Will barely even get in the way. Barely even gets in the way as a blocker, but he can move.
Like
he
Justin Jones,
he understands how to get underneath the underneath zones in the passing game, and he has a decent amount of athleticism and decent hands. So let's see physically what he can do.
Smith said.
You just tell him to go out there. You know my favorite part of that. Lovie Smith rips him, and then like a day later, two days later, you know. When they're trying to trade him. Oh, no, he's doing much better now.
I think he even tried to say, like, you caught me in a weak moment or
something. And now he's thinking to himself, I got me Logan Mankins for that guy.
I was going to cut him.
As
the only issue is I think both teams are like, I was going to cut him, and I got to trade him. I was going to cut him, and I got
and
to
that's
trade
why,
him.
And that's why it works. Because I think that the bottom line here, I think there's a very good chance that both of those players were going to be cut. So you might look at it and say one got a lot more, you know, the much better player, but they were both going to be cut.
Having no intimate knowledge of the Houston Texans offensive line. Don't you think Billy O'Brien, that could be a, remember when Romeo brought Joe Andrews, Willie McGinnis, so-and-so to Cleveland as sort of guys to build around, not necessarily as players, but guys to build around that he trusted? I could see Billy O'Brien claiming Logan Mankins.
Could you have gotten Andre Johnson for him?
No. Can't imagine. I mean, I know Billy O'Brien might want, like, this leader in the locker room, but he also probably wants a receiver who can catch.
No, and plus, Andre Johnson's a whole different animal with the contract and all that stuff.
Although, not just, really, right? Wouldn't you be swapping, like, $10 million cap hits?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be that. But if you look at for the team acquiring him, it would have been a $6.25 million cap hit that the Texans would be acquiring.
Right.
Plus whatever the dead money,
dead
on,
money
Johnson,
on Johnson's deal.
And the Patriots would have inherited the five and whatever they have for Mankins.
But also.
Plus whatever they would have to
Johnson's
assume for
salary
Johnson.
Salary $10
million? No, I don't think so.
Oh, so
so it might have been a swap. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the cap hit would have been for Johnson.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
You know what Tim Wright really is? He's a big receiver.
You got your receiver.
Tim Wright's a tight end, no.
He's only 220 pounds. He's really a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a tight end. They move tight end like y'all been saying. I've been reading like that. I got my shot, too, yeah, I guess. But I think, Paul, you're right. I think it would be Conley. It's Winchester and Conley left guard, Cannon right guard. Because that's what I would go with. And then I think that's what Brady would be comfortable with instead of Klein or Davey or Stewart, because I can't see Brady standing back there that long and getting beat up. What's going to happen anyway?
Well, I was going to say, just because you put the group Brady likes out there doesn't mean he's not going to get beat up.
Right.
Well, he might still get beat up. I don't think he'd be as bad if he tried, like Klein and Devy. You know, but
no. It's not Klein and Devy. It's probably one of them.
Yeah, and I don't even think, I'm not
bingo,
even sure that.
Bingo! I got bingo!
You know, if all these rookies are okay, they might, you know, Devy might not be on the team.
Oh, I don't think Devy makes a team. I have not been impressed with
he
Jordan
He certainly
Devy.
Did not play well last week.
Well, but they're going to find out tonight when they go get the Jazz pass rush. You know they're going to put their first spring in them. You know that, right?
Heck yeah.
For a series.
They'll find out tonight. But my other question is, the other thing I'm looking at is corners. And see what times do against somebody number one like you want to see, Paul. Besides, you say he just run a go route. I think he run more than a go route, but I think mainly if they call him a go route, I think he win most of them. He shows up better than George Boyce does, and he shows up better than Tompkins.
Who are we talking about now?
Well, he doesn't show up better than Tompkins.
Who are we talking about?
Who are we talking about?
Time.
Tim's.
Brian Timms.
You got me thinking.
Brian Timms. Okay. I'm sorry, Brian Timms. I call him Tackle as a Timms. Okay.
Yeah, Timms has been okay. Absolutely.
But he has not been better than
Tompkins. He hasn't been better than Tompkins. And you know what I think of
Tompkins. He's better than Boyce, because Boyce hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I think that he's been more consistent than Boyce. I think Timms has 9 catches and Boyce has 5.
Travis,
you know, in the preseason.
Emails in webradio@patriots.com. Do you guys want some constructive criticism?
Nope.
For your TV broadcast?
Nope.
You know, you don't want that one?
I do.
Sure, you want that one?
I'm always looking to get better, Mark.
Really?
Travis in Tennessee writes, Paul, don't slouch in the chair with elbows down. It looks like the chair is trying to swallow you.
You obviously haven't watched the last couple of weeks.
Screw you!
Bet you the chair is going to choke if he tries to swallow.
Try to keep your elbows up on the arms of the chair.
You know what's funny
like
about
Andy.
This?
Andy.
It gives a Andy, we're getting to you.
I think he has us confused.
He better not, because that's the most offensive thing ever if he has us confused.
No, the last couple of weeks, what have they been saying? The first week they said that I was too far back and we needed to do the energy, and then you sort of you're sitting back and I'm sitting up.
Yeah, I refuse to sit forward. I have my arms on the chair.
Right. So it's Andy with his arms on his chair.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying keep your elbows up on the arms of the chair like Andy
does. Your elbows up on the arms of the chair like Andy does.
So how am I slouching if my elbows aren't on the chair?
Because you sit up and then you put your elbows inside.
Because you look small. You look too small on the chair is what he said.
No one's ever said that.
Take it as a compliment.
Okay, no one's ever said
take
I look too
Take it as a compliment, Paul.
He's fat.
I'm convinced that he's
Travis writes to give...
And I'm convinced he's blind if that's the case.
I'd like to know what Travis does. He's got a lot of insight here to TV.
Is there anything about like what we actually do?
It gives a better presentation and is more engaging. If the chair's arms are too high, sit on a phone book.
Okay, so is there
I love this.
Hey, when did
I love this email.
Well, you said he was going to rip me. What was he
We're getting to that. Here it is right here. Andy, on the other hand.
Oh, suck it, Travis.
Looks like the chair is trying to spit you out. Probably due to the smell of your trouser coughs.
I don't even know what that. Oh, is that fart?
Farts, oh. Idiot.
I don't fart.
But is there anything about like what we actually do?
No. Just about how you look.
Okay. Posture. Posture 101.
I would suggest
somebody should tell us.
We've been changed. How many times they tell us do this, do that, do this?
Plus, Paul and I want to stand at bar tables.
Yeah.
He says I would suggest you sit back in the chair, but knowing Andy, the sliding appearance could be purposeful, so he can flaunt the goods to the ladies.
I have been told that male camel toe has been an issue for me.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to watch for that.
You should know. I got a little wiener.
And then Tom Curran says we have pants tense.
Also, if you're worried about chest hair.
That's only when Garoppolo goes in, though.
If you're worried about chest hair showing, trim or shave it.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Don't be a rhymes with wussy. Just do it. Fred's.
Why am I taking advice from this guy? What are his credentials? You need to tell me why I should
Travis
listen to you.
Also wants to know, he believes he speaks for all the listeners when he says he would like to see a broadcast in the regular season by your crew.
No, we can't
call CBS.
there's about how many billion reasons why you can't see that?
But he is all about your broadcast. He does love it.
Jim Nance, Phil Simms. We're
going
to ask you to step aside this week.
We want the kid, the fat kid that slouches, and the obnoxious kid who looks like he's being spit out by the chair with the camel toe. We want more of them.
Camel toe, Andy. Sergio writes in, hey guys, I'm still sad/mad about Logan Mankins.
Me too.
I thought he was a lifer like Matt Light, but oh well, life goes on. Tonight, I am looking forward to these things. Jimmy Garoppolo and his chemistry with the offense and how he can control it as a starter. I'd like to see Tim Wright play and see if he was worth Mankins.
see, that's a problem for Tim Wright. People are going to say he was traded straight up and it was like they had to get Wright, that's a problem.
But you know what? He has a big advantage in that he's going to accumulate statistics.
Correct.
He's going to catch passes.
Well, according to everybody, Mankins accumulated statistics, 11 sacks.
Yeah. Of course, those stats were accumulated after we left.
Yes. Well, if they were accumulated before, no one told me about them.
Right. Because I remember all of those camp things that I read about him being in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
he was a veteran
kept saying that they should trade Mankins. You know, everyone was writing it,
calling
talk shows. Everywhere. That was everywhere.
And I agree with Andy.
Do you want to get on a media rant? I can get on that.
No,
rant.
It's not the time nor the place.
We'll wait till the post game. I thought that was a good. It's a good point about the Wright Mankins thing, and it's not fair to Tim Wright.
He's
but,
an undrafted receiver who's now an NFL tight
end. But he's also going to catch passes.
From Rutgers.
And that contribution, I think, is going to be overblown. I think if he can catch some passes, people are going to say, well, look at that. He caught 25 passes.
Right.
And that was worth it. They didn't have that.
He's got Field Yates projecting 70 for 700.
Some have said 80.
No, well, Field wasn't the one.
I can tell you is what I got on the Twitter.
Sergio also writes, both lines, both offensive and defensive lines. I want to see how we're going to hold up. Also, Daron Harmon's
play.
Money,
right? We have to get it upstairs.
Daron Harmon's play, rooting. It's good for the radio show, Paul, really. People are like, what the hell is Paul talking about?
You relax.
I come in here today, I'm high strung after the two-hour drive to get here.
You're just mad that you didn't get food.
I don't need food.
He was later. He would have been able to get
something. I don't have to work during the game like you do. one of the three hosts does not have pants on right now.
That'd be me. I forgot my shoes tonight, just for the record. So if anybody's watching and they happen to catch our feet on the broadcast, I'll be having Brooks sneakers on with my pants.
Can I finish Sergio's email? Yes. That'd be okay.
Serge?
Serge writes, Daron Harmon's play, I'm really rooting for him because I just don't like Chung at all. I feel like the Patriots should have cut him. He's unreliable, and last year he stunk it up in Philly. I like that. Last thing, will Jake Beckett finally get cut? I'm hoping he does. What a waste of a roster spot. Love the show. Go Pats. A
lot of hatred in that.
Yeah, a lot of hate. Got a little bit of an edge there, Sergio from Chicago.
You know, you're thinking when he starts the email, like, there's a guy he liked, like Zach Moore. I really like what I've seen from Zach Moore, so I hope Jake Beckett gets cut and he makes it. No, I just want Jake Beckett to get cut because I hate him.
I'd like to put in an early request with our producer, Kevin Collins, to maybe get Jake Beckett on the post-game show tonight.
Oh, no.
The annual fourth preseason game post-game show with Jake Beckett, in which he defiantly says he has no fear of getting cut 2 days from now. We might have to do that one.
You really are a miserable sort.
Who, me?
Yes.
I am.
This is like they've been working for this their entire lives, and you're going to take some sort of joy on him getting cut?
No, I'm not going to take any joy in it. I just like how confident he is. It's pretty amazing.
Well, wait, but what did he say? What was the question? What was the answer?
I don't exactly remember the question and answer. Like, if you had me having to quote him, it would be difficult.
Because he's not afraid of being cut doesn't mean he's not going to be upset that he's cut or likes to get cut.
Kevin, was he not rather defiant in his answer last year? He was rather defiant in the answer last year.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It was pretty awesome.
Okay.
He had no fear of it whatsoever.
Maybe we'll get Jimmy G on tonight.
It was pretty awesome.
By the way, while you just included me in the show real quick for a second.
Always welcome on the program.
No, Chris Ferreira.
Your fault.
Not always.
Chris Ferreira sent down an interesting little nugget here. He has a poll up. And you can – yes. Thanks, Andy. You can go to it on the Patriots.com website in the chat function or the Facebook page while you're listening to the show. And his question, you know, broad-based question was, did the Patriots make the right move in trading Logan Mankins? What do you guys think the percentages are here?
64, I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say 75 say it was the right move.
78%
that's a joke.
Say yes.
That's a joke.
Very interesting.
That's a complete joke. I find that to be ridiculous. I find many of those 78% to be ridiculous. So fraudulent. If you asked those people a week ago, Should the Patriots trade Logan Mankins? I'd like to see what the results would have been a week ago. 78%.
Although I listened to Paul on your program yesterday, and he seemed pretty nonchalant about the whole thing.
Makes me furious.
He's just a guard.
It was a money deal.
It's not
the end of the world, okay? Like, it's not the end of the world that they traded this player. It's not going to change the result of their season. But to just automatically say, no, it was great, it was absolutely the right thing to do, you people suck. The people who say that. Drives me crazy. This whole week has been like that. If you would ask those same people who were taking the poll today a week ago, should this team trade Logan Mankins, and they gave you the exact deal they did, 78% would not be saying yes. I bet it would be the complete opposite. It would be 78% saying, no, you're out of your mind.
I never got a chance, Beetle, yesterday to hear you answer. I know Paul posed the question to Mike and Tony about, has your sort of prediction for the Patriots record changed at all based on this trade?
No, not at all.
This is just interesting because I never heard you weigh in on it.
At the same time, I would ask the other question is, are you a better or worse team today than you were before?
Right, you can have the same record and still not be the same team.
I think you're probably a worse team.
I don't think it's going to show up in the wins and losses. Question. I don't think it's to that degree.
So, you're a worse team, but 78% think it was a good trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get how that works.
I hate that. I really don't like that. I don't like the results of that
Naz
poll.
Naz would not like that either.
I don't like the results of that poll. I don't think this trade is going to significantly change.
I thought Portoni was going to go into shock yesterday.
What happens, but I don't like the deal.
No, I don't like it
for
either.
So many reasons, I don't like the deal. And I admit, his play slipped last year, and he had a bad year. I'm not trying to hide from that.
Now, are you one of these guys that if the other shoe falls and say they, you know, like you were talking about yesterday, if they extend Revis, if they do this, they do that, then it doesn't matter as much? Or are you going to hate it no matter what?
I'm probably not going to like the move because I think they could have done both of those things.
Yeah.
I think they could have kept Logan Mankins and still extended Darrell Revis. I don't think
this is something that we'll argue about.
I don't think one had anything
to do with the other. I think you can extend guys, you can do what you want, and listen, I don't have a huge problem with the trade, and I think you were sort of, he is a guard, that's way more money than I wanted to pay a guard. He's one of my top five all-time favorite Patriots, but that doesn't mean I thought that the contract they gave him was a smart one. And I said that at the time. Andy and I both said it about him, about Will Fork, about Mayo. And we took a lot of criticism for it, especially from Fred.
Of course.
And I can understand that they didn't want to pay a guard $10.5 million. I totally get that. That doesn't mean I have to like the fact that he's no longer on the Patriots. And I don't like the fact that he's no longer a Patriot. I think they were a better team with him.
Yeah, and Paul, maybe you can help answer this. This is another thing that I've heard spitballed out there all over the place, and I'm not going to name names, but you know, people saying that, oh, they have depth at this position. They have four, five, six guys that can, you know.
Oh, I was the guy who called in yesterday.
Yeah,
they had six guys. He's counting
also,
guys that have never played an NFL snap.
And also, I've read stuff, you know, our good friend Field, for example, wrote in his piece when the deal went down that this was, you know, the Patriots were dealing a guy that they have a, you know, a ton of depth at this position.
Yep, he did.
And I'm wondering.
And that's ludicrous.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, How can you compare any of these guys behind him to Logan Mankins?
Well, I'm not even comparing him to Logan Mankins. If they had a lot of depth at guard,
yeah,
they wouldn't be using a different guard every day at practice.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
They're looking for the guy that they think is the right guy. So I didn't think that was a...
No.
I don't think that was a factual representation of what we've seen.
And I love Field, but I was just confused as all hell.
Yeah, and I don't look at... Sometimes people confuse having a lot of different names as having depth. And then Andy will break in if he wasn't eating right now and tell you that sometimes depth in August doesn't necessarily translate to depth in November, which is also very true.
I'm only eating because I thought we were taking a 6:15 break, and apparently we're not.
But I think they have a lot of different names like Brian Stork and John Jalapio and Jordan Devy and Josh. I don't have any idea if any of those guys can play NFL football. None.
I don't think that translates to depth.
I
think there are guys that are on the roster that could slide over, and we mentioned some of them already, that could play the position and could even, you know, end up being better by the end of the season than what maybe you would have got out of Logan Mankins. That is a possibility. That doesn't mean I have to like the trade. I would not have traded Logan Mankins for not only what he is on the field,
I agree with
but
you.
For everything that he is off the field.
No, I agree with
for
you.
Him as a guard being, in my opinion, the veteran there, the guy who's kind of the anchor of the offensive line, even though he's at a guard spot because of his presence and who he is and the leadership that he brings. I'm not parting with any of that.
I agree with you.
Not doing it. And obviously, we've heard the reports about what Tom Brady was feeling after he found out about the trade. If you believe those reports, including, I think, the one from Jason Cole, that he was very upset. Now, if that's sad, angry, you know, disappointed, whatever combination of those things, he wasn't happy with the deal.
Disappointed, angry,
sad.
Probably all
kind
three.
Of sad.
Yeah, I'm with Tom Brady. I stand with Tom Brady on the Logan Mankins trade. That's where I stand.
And Mankins, when he spoke a little short while ago, did say that he has spoken to Brady after the trade, and that, you know, like very Belichickian, those conversations will remain between Logan and Tom.
I bet they shared a good cry together.
Probably.
Bet they did. Right now, any of Dunkin's freshly made bakery sandwiches are just $2.99. Try Dunkin's new grilled chicken flatbread sandwich, turkey cheddar bacon sandwich, or tuna salad wrap. Grab a Dunkin' bakery sandwich for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin', plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. 855-PATS-500. That's your phone number. Web radio at patriots.com. That's the email. Keep sending those in. If you're on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag PPGS as we get ready for preseason game number 4, Patriots and Giants, coming up here later on this evening. We continue on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with your calls next.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked.
That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500, your phone number. Let's go right back to those phone calls, promised, with Melvin in Tennessee. What's happening, Melvin?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Not much. I got two quick questions. One's relevant to tonight, and one's kind of not. But with the relevant one to tonight, do you all feel like the second-team defense has kind of just improved as far as skill, as far as tackling? And I haven't seen anybody. I know the first game they looked really sloppy to me. I just haven't seen anybody alarming, kind of like Jamie Collins was that group last year. Well, I was like, wow, you know, that guy's pretty good. He'd probably be a starter or something, obviously, because he was high-picked too. But, I mean, he looked different from all the other guys. Have you all seen anybody in that second team group that even shows anything promising to that level?
Second-team offense that shows promise. I mean, defense.
Second-team defensive kind of players?
Mm-hmm. I would say Fleming.
Fleming is a guy that's sort of flashed a little bit. Let's see, who else? I think Butler has certainly been present at every game. He's playing with the ones a lot. Up front, Joe Villano is a guy that just keeps scrapping, but he's another guy that's played a lot kind of with the ones. You know, I think tonight he's getting the one treatment.
He was with the group that he's been playing like wire to wire.
Didn't he get the one treatment last week's game too? I think he might have been on the field to start that game.
Yeah, he played almost the whole game. What he's been doing is starting
at end and moving to nose tackle and playing a huge amount of snaps. Now, I mean, I got to think he's a starter to open the season, right? There's a good chance.
Well, with Tommy Kelly gone, yeah. I mean,
Easley's still coming back. Jones coming off an injury. Neither of those guys, to me, would seem ready to play.
Just starting to practice, and he's more of a Vince backup to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure Salinga plays end.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
You have two guys that are not going to be full-time ready to open the year, so I think he has to be a guy that's going to start.
But there's a few guys that have sort of been backups.
We owe that guy an apology when we made fun of him.
Who?
I don't know. Some guy that,
May
of a year ago or even before that said Joe Villano was going to start for the Patriots.
He wrote in. He wrote in his starting defense for the year. And he had Joe Villano in there, and Andy and I went. Andy and I just laughed at him, and he ended up starting almost all year.
You know the old saying: "He who laughs last," and he's laughing.
Let's go to Anthony in New Mexico. What's up, Anthony?
How's it going, you guys?
Tremendous.
Well. I'm calling, so I'm a little nervous.
No need to be nervous.
We're terrible. We misspeak all the time.
All right. What y'all think about that Mankins trade? Pretty crazy, huh?
Yep. It was. Emotionally stunning, but on paper, I don't think is shocking.
Kind of have that weird feeling in your stomach, you know, when you're going out with a girl for a long time you like, and she just dumps you out of the nowhere. Maybe Eric.
I'm not familiar with that.
Maybe Eric.
No, no, exactly. Eric would love to know because he'd get to go out with a girl for a while.
A long time.
Well, another thing I want to bring up is I'm not too sold on Browner as corner.
Nor am I.
What y'all guys think?
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you 100%, Anthony.
Now, when you say that, I'm interested because I think some people write, and I've seen this on AskPFW and different things we do, well, we'll just move him to safety. When you say you're not sold at him at corner, would you cut him or what?
He hung up.
Oh, okay. We're not going to get the answer there.
He hung up on that one. Okay. It cut out.
This is an interesting one to me. I've been talking about it a lot lately.
You're going to cut him. That's a million down the tubes.
I didn't say I would cut
him. You're going to cut Wendell.
No, I wouldn't
That's
cut
850
him.
Down
I would
the,
not cut
the tubes.
First of all, I wouldn't cut Wendell. He would be my starting center. You are the one that want $1.5 million backup.
Yeah.
So I'm not throwing money down the toilet with Wendell. You are.
I'm not throwing any money down the toilet. He's on the team.
Yeah. Not playing.
So? We pay Browner, a lot of guys a lot more than that to not play. Every year, Sean Ellis?
Browner.
$4 million.
Has not been impressive to me in training camp.
No.
I think his style is not going to lend itself to this new way that they're going to officiate the game, number one. Number two, he insists on saying every single time he's asked about it, he's not going to change his style. I got to play the way I play. I got to be me. So he looks to me like a guy who has to get that press off the line. If he misses it in any way, he's not fast or quick enough to catch up. I don't think he has the athleticism that Revis does in terms of a hip turn. He looks really stiff to me.
He looks old, Paul.
And he
has
his hands all over receivers all the time. Now,
that doesn't even bother me. The fact that he looks slow is what bothers me about him.
And if he doesn't
more than
get,
anything
but
else.
But my point is, if you take away that physical nature, if you take away his ability to get his hands all over you, now he can't keep up with you. So either he's going to get a penalty for holding, or he's going to get beat.
And that's what we've seen here in the preseason.
And I've seen that a lot in practice even. You know, Andy and I, we make fun of each other about this a lot because, you know, well, you know, that's Amendola or that's Edelman. That's a smaller guy that he's not supposed to really be. He's not supposed to be a quick guy. He wants to beat up the bigger guys. Then you see the bigger guys just blow by him down the sideline. You know, Brian Timms torched him one day.
Well, that's a bad matchup.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you wonder, what is the matchup that's good for him? The fans think, like Andy alluded to, safety. Let him cover tight ends. I don't think he's strong enough to cover tight ends.
Plus, he's never played safety.
Well, that's, you know, another factoid that deserves mentioning.
Let's go to Twitter real quick, since we like to engage those folks. And we got some interesting PPGSs. The first one I like, because it's positive for Paul and Andy, coming off the, whoever that guy was that was, you know, questioning us.
My posture.
He wasn't questioning
my
you.
Posture.
He was complimenting you.
Michelle, who loves it when Fred calls her Charlotta, believe me, there are plenty of people who'd swap you for Sims and Nancy. So she thinks we'd be good on the regular season games. And P.S., you're both fine on TV, and I work with TV. She does. She works with TV.
She does. She knows TV.
What does she mean by fine?
Oh, she means fine. It is in caps.
Yeah, it's all caps.
She's like, fine. Fine.
She thinks you're fine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She wants a piece of the Perillo.
What exactly was that accent that
fine.
You were just... Fine. What is...
Another
stop
one.
That. Stop it.
Hashtag PPGS for you. Tell Bertrand to stop being a little whiny bitch. What's wrong with being okay with the Mankins move? Settle down, Nancy. Two emails in a row Nancy in it.
A couple Nancy references there. Oh.
There's nothing wrong with being okay with the Nancy move. The Mankins move. Nothing wrong with it. I think if you were so...
Well, this guy's been
if you're so
pissing
on,
and moaning.
My point, and I think Mark's is, if you were so on board with the Mankins trade, then why weren't you clamoring to do something with him?
Here's my problem.
And I would argue that, especially because you didn't get a first-round pick and you didn't get a starting tight end in return. If you got one of those two, I could say, oh, yeah, that's a good deal. You didn't really
people
get anything
wowing.
People
are being dishonest with themselves.
That's all I'm
saying.
That's
what I do not
but
like.
But that's all I'm
that's
saying.
That's what you not appreciate. They're being dishonest
I'll
with themselves.
I'll tell them when they're being honest.
I get all the reasons why they made the trade. I get it.
Even though I don't agree with it, I understand the reasons.
Yeah.
Right? I don't agree
this
with the
reasons, Richard
but
Seymour
I know
to
what
me.
They are.
Richard Seymour, to me, was a ridiculously bad move. It was a ridiculously bad trade.
This does not rise to that level.
And they got a hell of a lot more in exchange for Richard Seymour than they got for this guy.
They got that top 10 Raiders pick. Except it wasn't a top 10 rating.
Except for it was 17th because, you know, cost a fixed cost.
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
One last one from the Twittersphere, hashtag PBGS, if you want to join us, as Phil did. He's the _ Magnic MC something. Is the greater effect of Mankins' absence going to be felt on the field or off the field, Paul Perillo?
I believe it's going to be both. But I think more so off.
I agree.
And I think the reason for that is there's a lot of factors involved. Dante's not here anymore. So
he'll
I think
walk through that door.
So I think the leadership, well, he probably will walk through that door at some point.
And I'll run into him in the bathroom.
The leadership to me is very important. And when they're coming off the field, that coach needs to communicate with the players somehow. And I think that he is a conduit. I think he's the guy that you would go to.
Facilitator.
And now I think you have a bunch of guys that are... Listen, I think the world of Nate Solder and Sebastian Vollmer, they're both two quiet guys. They're not necessarily going to rattle anybody's cage. Logan Mankins was able to do that. He was the captain. He was an offensive lineman who was a captain. And am I wrong? I don't really see Solder and Vollmer being like that. Conley is a really quiet guy.
No chance for Conley, no chance for Wendell. I think there's limited chance for Vollmer. Solder, maybe he'll change. Maybe he'll feel this
Solder's
impetus
terrific.
To be different.
I love talking to the kid. He's a well-spoken guy. He's a bright guy. But I don't think that he's got that kind of outgoing personality.
He hasn't so far. Maybe it changes.
Now, Mankins was soft-spoken in the you know with us.
If Solder gets a $40 million contract extension? Does that help him feel, I'm here, it's my role, Logan's gone, now I'm going to be a little more?
He could do that. I think we saw a little of that with Vince.
Right.
Vince got the contract and he became a little bit more of a vocal leader, but
Vince has always had an edge.
And
it gets back to our old discussion.
I think Nate, you know what
to
I think?
To be
Nate's
a leader, you need to be an a-hole sometimes.
And
I've never
Nate's
seen Solder be an a-hole.
He's just a good guy.
Good guys finish.
To me, Mankins was
they
a valuable.
Their careers in Tampa Bay.
To me, he was a valuable guy off the field. I don't think I would worry as much about the off field if Dante were still here. I think that because of that fact that they have Googe, and I think that there might be some rough patches that they're going to have to work through.
Any chance that was part of the reason for the trade? Maybe
that
Logan
didn't
like the
well?
New guy.
I don't think so, but I've heard that talked about the last 48 hours.
Where did you hear that talked about?
My guess would be the Felger and Maz.
Oh, you're talking like on radio,
negativity
TV
of.
Oh, not
show.
In here.
Oh,
no.
I thought you meant like around this building.
No, like
really?
Like we just talked about. Like Andy just brought it up. I'll say Andy said it.
No.
Well, I mean, that's without even knowing anything. It's just a natural question.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. With something.
And
going
I've heard
on.
It talked about on the radio, just in that way. Not why. So, I talked to people down in Foxborough, and they didn't think that Mankins
that
meshed
different.
Well with Googe. No, not like that. No.
That would be a little.
Matter
bit
of fact,
different.
To the contrary, everything that we talked to Logan about, he said it was all the same, right? Right, Andy?
Sure.
It was very much the same with this guy and with Dante.
Dwayne's in Boston. Hey, Dwayne.
Hello.
What's
Hello.
Up?
Hello.
I called in over the offseason telling you guys I think that there was something going on with Mankins.
Yes, you are one. I'll give Dwayne the credit. He's been all over Mankins all offseason. He's right.
I feel like this trade, I mean, first of all, I don't like the value that they got in return. I kind of feel like they could have gotten more. I expected they would get at least a third rounder form if they were to trade him. But the reason why I thought that the trade needed to happen was because this is a player that was on the decline. He had a bloated salary. And I felt like there was a risk that if he declined further this season, and we don't know yet if he's going to decline even more. We'll see when the season plays out. But if he got even worse after Porkchop slapped him around in the AFC Championship, then
one play.
There's a chance that they would just end up paying all that money, getting nothing in return when he leaves a free agency or when they cut him next year. I kind of thought this was the last chance for them to get something for him. But I'd like to hear what you guys think about that. But also, I'll make this last point before I go. I'm kind of bothered by every single time somebody close to Brady gets cut, he has to, there's always these rumors that come out through, Jason Cole, like what came out from Jason Cole or through some, or through Peter King. I just wish that if Tom Brady is going to say something about it, that he actually stands up for his guy and just does it on the microphone. I think I remember him doing that for Deion Branch, but I don't remember him really doing that too much for some of the other players. He the rumors just kind of slip out. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. It just kind of comes the way it came off, especially the way Jason Cole said it on Felger and Maz yesterday. It just sounded kind of like Brady is a whiny bitch. Sorry to say that. All right, and that's it. I'm done. I'll listen to your response after the call.
Well, you're certainly not the first person to accuse Brady of being a whiny bitch. That has been a sort of a common criticism of him over the years. And the second thing I would say, though, defending Brady is just because he doesn't go out in the media and say, you know what, I'm pissed. That's ridiculous that we traded Mankins. Doesn't mean he doesn't have the right to, behind closed doors, be upset about it. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that he called Jason Cole and said, you know what, I'm upset about it. For all I know, he bitched to another player, and that player has a relationship with Cole and talked to Cole and said, yeah, Brady's pretty pissed about it. He's pretty upset about it. Right? I mean,
there's a million different ways that
it's like if I were mad about something Fred did and said, you know, Paul, this sucks. I'm pissed about this. And then Mark tells somebody, all of a sudden it gets out there that, you know, Andy's pissed at what Fred did. I didn't go to the media. You didn't go to the media, but it got out there.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot to be gained by players getting all emotional and spewing. And I think back to 03. Because this is the Logan Mankins thing. This is the third time to me this similar situation has unfolded with Malloy, Seymour, and now Mankins. In 03, remember Teddy Bruschi saying he was so upset that he couldn't possibly look at the Patriots with any loyalty. He had more loyalty to his high school team than he did with the Patriots. Now, think back of what Teddy Bruschi meant to the Patriots over the ensuing 5-6 years. Clearly, you know, he wouldn't have still felt like that. You know, by the time he retired, Belichick was calling him, you know, one of the best football players he ever coached. So you speak emotionally. And sometimes, listen, I don't ever want to discourage someone from speaking emotionally. But I,
that would not be a wise move as a media member.
Well, certainly wouldn't be a wise move for me, who that's all I ever do is speak emotionally. But
yeah, that's why you're always using your hands on TV. Jim Donaldson hates it.
I can
this
understand.
Feels emotional right now.
But can't you understand why a guy like Brady would sit there and say, "I don't really have anything to gain by spilling my guts"? I also thought it was conspicuous in his absence on Tuesday in the locker room, Vince Wilfork, because I can't imagine he was too happy about this either.
Right.
You know, veteran
probably
guys
taking the. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at
you
all.
You know, stay the bleep out of the locker room and make sure you don't say something stupid.
And we know for a fact, you said, you know, this is another example, Malloy, Seymour, Mankins. We could have easily added Wilfork in there. Mm-hmm. That it was push comes to shove this
offseason.
Saved
by the Achilles. He didn't have any leverage. Otherwise, he would have done the same thing.
Or,
he would have said no.
And it could have come at the same time. It could have been a late type thing. So the only, you know, the situation altered sort of that landscape, but it could have been him too.
I totally agree. This would have happened with Wilfork if not for the injury. If he played 16 games last year, there's no way he would have acquiesced to that pay cut. No way.
It's a good word.
And well, I would agree with that move, probably, based on the way he played prior to the injury last year. But he has been good in the preseason.
He's going
to
have a big year.
I've admitted, if he keeps this up in the regular season, I was dead wrong as you can possibly be about something. I would be.
You're calling Vince Wilfork irrelevant?
Largely.
Wow.
Based on what? Based on him
as
or based on what
they
play?
Say, that's a hot sports take if you ask me.
Based on what? You got to give us more on that, Paul. You can't just let that one hang.
I just
call
feel,
Vince Wilfork irrelevant.
I just feel like there's not that much of a difference. I think that those kinds of run-stopping players are a dime a dozen.
Wow.
Well, I'm the guy who said cut him in the offseason, so I'm not saying he's irrelevant.
Yeah,
I'm saying his play is declining.
I didn't need to cut him. I got him back at a number that I'm feeling better about if I'm Bill Belichick. It's fine. I'll take his leadership and his, you know, I think he's another one, like Mankins, that you're going to miss more off the field. Now, I think Mankins was playing at a higher level than Vince was last year before Vince got hurt. But I don't know. I'm very stubborn with this. I admit that I look at this at a very narrow-minded view.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See, I can admit it. I look at it a lot like your you know, coworker there at the Sports Hub. I look at it a lot like Felgi. I look
that's
at guys.
Not a good, that's not a good.
I look
thing.
At
that's
guys.
Never a good thing.
Don't affiliate yourself.
That impact and affect the passing game. I don't need a guard. I don't need a nose tackle. I don't need an inside linebacker to be making $50 million. And they had all three of those.
Maurice is in South Carolina. What's up, Mo?
Mo!
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Great. Hey, y'all were talking about the trade. I think the trade was designed to extend Darrell Revis and Devin McCourty and to have flexibility in free agency next year. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I personally don't think it had anything to do with that.
You know,
I think that they could have, made those kinds of moves, and I would expect, especially McCourty, I think you're right on. I think they're gonna probably get an extension done with him, but I think they could have done that and had Logan Mankins on the team as well. I don't think that they had to do that to extend anybody, and I do think that Mankins was gone after this season. This was, if he was going to stay this year, I think they might have cut him anyway if they couldn't work a trade. But I think this was the last year he was going to be here. They weren't going to pay him again next year to pay another $11 million on the cap next year.
Yeah, when they drafted three offensive linemen, I knew
absolutely
to go.
Absolutely, I'm with you on that.
So you guys think Joe Valano is going to make the team? Because I think we need six defensive tackles.
Make the team.
He's making the team.
He is a lock to make the team and is most likely a starter on opening day and
Will
a core
Fork,
guy.
Will Fork, Chris Jones, Silver Salinga, Joe Valano, Dominic Easley. Give me one more.
Jarrell Worthy, even though I don't like him. But
I think those guys will all make the team. And I agree. I think you probably need six. If you want to run a 3-4, you need six. You need three to start and three behind them.
Yeah,
you could probably get by with five to start the year, but you'd need to have a guy in the practice squad, a guy that you could plug in if you needed.
You know whose reputation and legend is greater than his reality?
Who's
Silver
that?
Salinga. The guy played like 3 weeks. And like...
numbers 35 through 53 in the Patriots roster.
No, but like he's just this guy, like, you know, and then they got Salenga back and like, yeah, he was on the practice squad up until like week 12.
Andy's in Vermont. Hey, Andy.
Great name.
Andy.
Hey, yeah. Hey, this is Andy from Vermont.
Yeah,
how you
we
doing,
know
Andy
Go
from
ahead.
Vermont? Do you sign your checks that, Andy from Vermont?
Actually, I don't bank anymore.
Yeah, good call.
PayPal or cash?
Straight cash, homie.
What is Vermont even part of the union?
Have you guys seceded?
Hey, we got more cows than people up here right now.
Right. I mean, what do you really need to bank for?
Now we're opening Pandora's box. How do you use PayPal if you don't have a bank account?
Oh, I'm self-employed.
But how do you...
Reloadable credit cards, dude.
Okay, all right. So you have to go to like a retail establishment to do it.
Sure.
Okay, gotcha. All right, I follow.
This seems a little shady. Hey. Are you avoiding being like on the grid for
a
reason?
Are you not paying taxes, no. Andy?
No. No, my wife makes the big money. I don't.
Oh, okay. It's a good way to live.
Been enjoying what you guys have
for me.
Today. You know, it's really hard to think about Logan being gone because, like you said, off the field, I mean, he's just a true Patriot when he and Matt like get together for Matt's fundraiser every year. You know, he's a real big part of that. There's other things that on the left side of the line that when he and Matt were playing together, you know, he had two guys that were really, really good at that position. And you've got young guys in there. I don't think Cannon's the answer to play a guard at all. I just think it's going to be hard shoes to fill. And even though you've got some good talent in there, I think we've seen more talent come in on defense this year than offense. And to see a captain go, I mean, a lot of money lifted in the cap. But I still think Logan was in his prime, 32. I don't think he really lost a step as far as pass blocking or anything.
I think that thing is up for debate. Whether or not he has lost something, he had probably a down year last year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what he is as a player.
And he even admitted, you know, today in one of the, I saw one of the quotes saying, you know, I forget the number, but you know, you play 100 and whatever many games.
50, I think he said.
You know, I don't know too many. I don't know too many players who played 150 career games and are on the upswing. So that's his way. I mean, he's a straight shooter. He's going to tell you what he thinks. He probably knows that he's declined a little bit, but I agree with your point, Mark. All of a sudden, this number 11 seems to be, you know, everybody knows he gave up 11 sacks last year. And he had a two-game stretch that he gave up five, you know, over a two-game span. But yet, I don't ever remember reading this.
Well, I've just
I don't remember
told,
anybody talking about
I've
this.
I've been told multiple times, you know, over the last couple of days, how Logan Mankins was just one of the worst guards in the National Football League.
He probably was overrated as a leader, too.
And we must have just all been stupid to not see that he was just one of the worst players at the position and that the Patriots just needed to rid themselves of Logan Mankins because he was just so bad.
And I do – listen, there's a huge play in the AFC Championship game, and it was an enormous play in that game. It was, I think, the last gasp for the Patriots to get back in that game, that fourth down play, and Terrence Knighton got right by him and – ended, I think, any chance of a miracle comeback by the Patriots. But it's one play, and I think that people are basing the whole season for him on that one play.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Make sure you check out Dunkin's new DD Perks Rewards program. Get a free medium beverage when you enroll at ddperks.com. Then just pay with your registered DD card or mobile app to earn points towards more free beverages. It's our way of saying thanks. Enroll today at ddperks.com. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And if you're on social media, you're on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag PPGS. We'll be back right after this.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country.
one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live on Patriots.com radio and the Patriots Facebook page.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. You want to get on locally? 508-298-0398. And this is the part of the program where Andy gives us an international phone number.
There's also a booger on this thing.
That's not mine. That's gross.
I am going to go
Someone
with...
has a booger on there?
It looks like a booger.
Jeez, Sue.
How about we just go United Kingdom? We're big in
UK.
England.
We've
got a lot of UK listeners. 0800-163-851. That's 0800-163-851. I'm mad that I laughed. I didn't pull that one off without.
What's that from? Office
my
Space?
O face or my O.
But is that Office Space? Which one is that?
Might be. I don't know. If all goes right, she's gonna see my O face. O. Let me read that again one more time.
That is good for a laugh every week.
0800-163-851. I want them to actually be able to call.
I didn't like how you didn't do 3851.
Well, I wanted him to really get it this time.
3851.
163. Trey's in Memphis. What's up, Trey?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up,
Trey?
Great.
Man. Hey, well, you know, I'm Logan. Logan Mangus, I almost got him out of my system, man. You know, still a little bit, you know, kind of skeptical, you know what I'm saying, about the trade. I mean, but
good for you.
Got to look at it.
Good.
I mean, you got to look at it, man. You know, this Vinny's Bill Belichick move, so, and we all of us should be used to it by now. So, but I've been looking at some games of this tight end, man. I mean, he looks explosive. I mean, you know, he looks like a more explosive guy than Hernandez, even though he's not as big. I mean, but I think he's going to bring some stuff to the table, man. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know a tremendous amount about Tim Wright, to be honest with you. Statistically, he didn't look to be overly explosive to me. But I, you know, the only time I saw him play really, and I don't remember him in practice here, but I do remember him in the game. I think it was only his second or third pro game when we saw him here, and Josh Freeman was his quarterback. So, he can be forgiven for not making a big impact on me, but he did, I think, fail to make a catch in the end zone early in that game, a touchdown catch that I think he probably should have made. But I don't know. I think that he's a guy that might be able to add another piece to the passing game. I don't expect him to be a big piece of the passing game, but I think he could catch the ball.
Wait for it. Does he move the needle?
No. I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics.
Uh-oh.
Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
We should have him give out the number.
Is it Office Space? Okay. That's what I thought.
So he doesn't move the needle. Is he?
Yeah, no, he doesn't move the needle.
Does he move the needle for you? Am I missing something?
No, he doesn't move the needle.
I'm not looking for 70 catches, like some.
He moves the needle more than anybody else I've seen, not named Gronk, anywhere near a tight end position for the last year and a half.
Moves my needle.
All right, put your O away.
So childish. Let's.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who moves the needle more, him or Dustin Keller on one leg?
Neither one
if
of them move my
needle
very
we're
much.
We're talking needle moving. Yeah, it's pretty.
I would
down
say Dustin
needle.
Keller, but
you know that's like a radio term. It's not actually sexual in any way.
No, I know.
Do I need to describe it to you, immature little children?
Nobody said it was. Talk to Kevin.
I understand what you're asking, and I don't really think either one of them.
The needle's just
kind of told
dead.
You about Dustin Keller. Limp. Doesn't really change the equation for me. If Gronk gets hurt, I am not feeling any better today than I did yesterday.
You know what I'm a little worried about? He's going to cut into James Devlin's potential contributions.
Let's go. Hey, let's go inside the press box. Let's do that.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, Eric, welcome to the show yet again. I don't know what Mark's doing. He's not going to introduce you, so I'll just take over the interview from here. And I think one of the most interesting aspects of this game tonight will be the offensive line. I'm curious what you're seeing in terms of guys who we could see tonight on the offensive line and maybe who's going to get the significant reps on the interior part of the offensive line.
Hey, Andy, since you took over the show, you're going to put him up on the board there?
No, turn him on.
Oh, you want me to turn him on?
You weren't paying attention. You were watching TV.
Oh.
Joining us now from MetLife Stadium is Eric Scalavino. Eric, you may answer Andy's question.
Ooh, boy, this is what happens in the 4-3 season game.
Yes.
We are really desperate.
Well, Mark just got here, so.
Get here.
Well, yeah, well, Mark, you know, comes in 2 hours late.
Yeah.
Burn.
All right, what do you got on the offensive line?
Well, Andy, your question is a good one. I know. I'm seeing Brian Stork getting the bulk of the center snaps. And they're in team warm-ups right now. Brian Stork was getting the first team reps. And then from left to right, we had Jordan Devey and Josh Klein as your left and left tackle and guard. And then you had Chris Barker and Cameron Fleming as your right guard and right tackle. They were getting most of the first team reps. And then some of the other guys, Braxton Cave, Jalapio, those guys were getting some mixed in with the second team reps. But it was looking like Stork at center is going to get the bulk of the work tonight. And that'll be his debut for his preseason debut for the Patriots.
Look what the Stork dropped in.
Be interested to see what he's got.
I'm interested in Jalapio, too. I feel like he's a guy that everybody just assumes he's here. He was a draft pick. He'll be on the team.
I don't assume that.
I haven't seen him do much.
I haven't seen anything really from him all summer.
Yeah, me either.
But, you know, they did draft him, relatively high. So I would assume he's going to have some spot, whether it's on a list or a practice squad or something. I think he'll be around, but he hasn't really done anything.
Yeah, I mean, they already cut one draft pick, so that might be in his favor.
Same round, right?
But I don't know if they just want to start unloading draft picks and showing themselves incapable of drafting late in the process. I don't know if that helps him, if you believe in that sort of thing, that teams care about how they look and keeping their draft picks around. Jumping to the other side of the football, I'm a little disappointed. Sounds like we're not going to see Dominic Easley tonight, but
right. Yeah, I'm very disappointed.
Guess that probably.
Yeah.
Well, Fred's always disappointed. He never gets what he wants. I guess that means we're probably going to see a lot of Jarrell Worthy and figuring out whether he is worthy of making the roster.
Probably. Safe assumption because we're, you know, I mean, all of the guys who we don't expect to play are actually dressed for the most part. I mean, there's no Bonk, there's no Hooman, there's no Vollmer. But most of the other guys, like even Brady, was taking some warm-up reps in team period right here. Darrell Revis is out there now, too. But, I mean, they're headed to the locker room as we speak. But, I think a guy like Worthy, who, you know, he wasn't even playing in Green Bay before the trade. So they need to see what this guy can do. And this is really the last chance to do that to decide whether or not they want to keep it. So with no Easley, I think, pretty safe that we're going to see a lot of Worthy. I know you're probably going to ask this anyway, but you were talking about Tim Wright earlier, and I was trying to pay a little attention to him, the newest Patriot. Looks like a really big wide receiver filling out his uniform, and seemed to have pretty decent hands from what I saw, limited time with him in the pregame here. But I kind of agree with what you guys were saying right before I got on here, that, you know, it's still way too early to tell what he's going to be able to do for the passing game. I'm not sure he's going to make much of a difference, but he certainly looks the part in uniform.
How fast?
Wearing number 81.
How fast and quick does he look?
He looks pretty quick for a guy his size. I wouldn't say he's a blazing speed. You know, guy that used to wear that number was certainly a lot quicker and a lot faster.
Wilson Van Hooser?
Sure, yeah. That's exactly who I was thinking. But this guy...
No, he was white. This guy's right.
Yeah, well, you know. But this...
Is that Jackie Britton?
Yes.
Oh. Sup, Jackie.
Sup, girl.
Hey, girl.
Lost my train of thought now.
Yeah, me too.
Why? Because Jackie's next to you?
Because Jackie was right next to your ear.
Oh.
Stop, she's you.
Red right now, too. So. Thanks, guys. Really made her day. In summation, I can't wait for this game to be over so we can get down to Miami and start talking about some real football. But I'm excited to see Jimmy Garoppolo in a full game tonight, I would expect. And also Aaron Buxton, his preseason debut. You want to see what he can bring to the table.
I agree with you. And before we let you go, let's just get one last question out there. It's something everybody's going to be talking about tonight, tomorrow, up until 6 p.m. on Saturday. Who are the bubble boys? Who are the boys that are very firmly implanted on a bubble that could burst?
I think, I still think, and this is going to be my surprise cut, and I've been saying it all week. I still think Ryan Wendell is not safe. I think he's a guy that it won't surprise me at all if he's cut, especially if Brian Stork plays at all impressively tonight and goes maybe the distance or most of it. I think he is on the bubble. I really do. And we've seen in the past guys who didn't play in the fourth game who seem to be safe were nonetheless let go when final cuts were made on Saturday. He's the top guy on my list, but there's certainly, you know, a lot of others. Brian Timms, wide receiver, is a guy who I think still has a chance to prove himself and maybe make the team. You know, a guy like Darius Fleming, linebacker. There are a few guys on there who I would want to see make the team based on what I've seen so far, but they, I think, are still very much on the bubble.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us from inside the press box at MetLife Stadium. Eric, thanks for the time. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys.
Tell Jackie we said hi.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Andy, before we...
I'm drunk on a plane.
Her voice isn't great.
No, it's really not good. I have a question for Andy, though, before we wrap this puppy up. Dante Hightower.
Yeah.
Any concerns? Evidently, he's among the group of players not in uniform tonight again.
He's a starter.
There's a lot of starters who are in uniform. They're just not going to play. Why, you know, do you worry about him at all physically?
Should I?
No, I mean,
have I had anything
Jeff
that's
Howell,
given me any indication that he's physically not fit?
Bolden, Hooman, Mayo, Hightower, Easley, Vollmer, Gronk, Chris Jones, Solinga. Not in uniform, according to Jeff Howe. The only one of those guys that I don't know about dealing with something is Hightower. That's why I just was, you know, he didn't play the last game when the starters played, and he's not playing, not even in uniform tonight, which leads me to believe he didn't make the trip.
Correct. And I saw somebody saying that he was tweeting about a game on TV, so he probably wasn't
at the
stadium.
Well, then he probably, then I would say that seals it. He's probably not there.
Whatever the game is, South Carolina and A&M, they said, unless that's playing in the Patriots locker room, it seems like Hightower's not here. So, yeah, it's certainly concerning. You know, it's a position we've talked about isn't overly deep. You know, whether he's a early down linebacker or sub, whatever he is, I still think he's part of your core front seven rotation. And if he's hurt, that's not good.
Let's get to another call here before we wrap things up. Peter in Chestnut Hill. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Andy. I've got a question for you.
Okay, go.
Were you serious about the Peyton Manning causing all these flags? Did you really mean that, or were you just trolling?
I was sort of catering to my audience. There are certainly people that believe that. I don't necessarily believe it. But I do think if you want to go by circumstantial evidence, it is pretty funny that when his team that was supposed to be great comes up short in the early 2000s, and then now, that it's when they re-emphasized illegal contact.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's partially true. I think it's just trying to drive up, you know, the audience for Super Bowls especially. But what seems to happen every year is when they make this emphasis, like, you know, the offensive teams really roll during the regular season, but then the refs don't want to throw the flags in the playoffs, and the defensive teams kind of take over. And teams almost every year, maybe except for Green Bay the last couple of years, the defensive teams have no problem once the playoffs roll around. So.
Right, I agree. And I like that. You know, it happens in a lot of sports. Hockey, it certainly happens. They put the whistles away, and they sort of let them play and get away with a lot more than they would in the regular season. Some people think that's not fair, that it should be the same. It's rules, call the rules. But I like when they, quote, let them play in the postseason.
Very cool. Thanks.
All right, Peter. Thanks for the call, Peter.
I think Peter wanted to fight me. Felt like he started off there wanting to fight.
And you very much diffuse the situation.
That's what I do. I am generally a diffusive personality.
All right, Patriots, Giants coming up.
Paul's eyebrows just went through the, you know, massive forehead he has.
You can watch the game on the, what's the TV
network
called?
I like to compare foreheads over there.
Mine's just big. Yours is getting bigger by the day.
Could show a feature film on that thing. Wailing away mindlessly as usual. Go ahead, Mark.
The Patriots.
I love how he has the audacity. Like, he's this prim and proper host that we couldn't possibly step on. Well, you weren't here for the first half of the show, so you lose your credibility as that prim and proper host.
They're not related.
Yeah, because you know what? Al Michaels always shows up in the second quarter of Sunday Night Football. Sorry, guys, I'm here, but now treat this as a serious broadcast. Bob Costas. Oh, sorry, I missed my read time at the Olympics.
Patriots preseason network. You can catch it on WBC TV Boston.
Here Paul and Andy.
Boston area with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. You don't want to miss that.
A.K.A. the Bob's Discount Furniture Boys.
A.K.A. Statler and Waldorf.
No, we've dropped that. We've moved on. We've matured.
We're just the Muppets now.
Just the Muppets. Tune in for that, and tune in for the post-game show presented by Xbox One. Right here, same place. Patriots.com. We'll be here after the game. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots take on the New York Giants.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter, Brady with a play, making it open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop, looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola! Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.